This is an audio summary for your AIL 80102 course. The reading is Prediction Machines, Chapter 14, Deconstructing Workflows by Ajay Agrawal, Joshua Gans, and Avi Goldfarb. During the information technology revolution, businesses faced a deceptively simple question: how should we implement computers into our operations? For some, the answer was obvious. Find wherever you're doing lots of calculations and replace humans with computers. They're better, faster, and cheaper. But for many other businesses, the path forward wasn't clear, so they experimented. The problem was that the fruits of those experiments took years to appear. This became so pronounced that the Nobel laureate economist Robert Salo observed something now famous in his field. "You can see the computer age everywhere," he said, "but in the productivity statistics." Out of this challenge emerged a business movement called reengineering. In 1993, Michael Hammer and James Champy published a book called Reengineering the Corporation, in which they argued something that became foundational to how we think about technology adoption today. To effectively use a new general-purpose technology like computers, businesses can't just bolt it onto existing processes. They need to step back, outline the objective they want to achieve, study their workflow, identify the specific tasks required to reach that objective, and only then consider whether computers have a role to play in those tasks. One of Hammer and Champy's favorite examples involved Ford's accounts payable department in the 1980s. In North America, this department employed 500 people, and Ford's leadership hoped that by investing heavily in computers, they could reduce that workforce by 20% to 400 people. That didn't seem unrealistic. After all, their competitor Mazda had accomplished something remarkable. They had just 5 people handling accounts payable. Many people at the time marveled at Japanese productivity, but there was something deeper going on. Ford's managers had to think differently. They stepped back and looked at the entire process that governed how a purchase happened. From the moment a purchase order was written to when it was actually issued, many people touched it. If even one person moved slowly, the entire system lagged. Some purchases were difficult, especially when reconciliation was required. One person in the process handled that task specifically. So even though only a fraction of orders needed reconciliation, that person spent most of their time on those problematic orders, and everything moved at the speed of the slowest transaction. Here was where computers could genuinely help. A computer could reduce the mismatches that slowed the system, but more importantly, it could separate easy cases from difficult ones and let the easy cases flow through quickly. Once Ford implemented this new system, their accounts payable department shrank by 75%, and the entire process became significantly faster and more accurate. That's a staggering result, and it didn't come from just throwing technology at a problem. It came from understanding workflow. Reengineering wasn't always about cutting heads. It was often about improving quality. Mutual Benefit Life, a large life insurance company, faced a different kind of problem. To process applications, 19 people across 5 different departments took 30 distinct steps. Theoretically, an application could complete in a single day. But in reality, applications took anywhere from 5 to 25 days. The bottleneck wasn't people working slowly. It was time in transit, the time an application spent moving between departments, between steps, between people. Other inefficiencies piled on because they could attach themselves to a slow-moving target. Once they deployed an enterprise computer system with a shared database, the processing changed fundamentally. One person now had authority over an entire application. Processing time dropped to between 4 hours and a few days. Again, the gains came from rethinking the workflow, not from raw technological capability. Now, the authors make a crucial observation. Artificial intelligence is a general-purpose technology, just as computers were. It has the potential to affect every decision because prediction is a foundational input to decision-making. Therefore, no manager is going to achieve significant productivity gains by simply throwing some AI at a problem or plugging it into an existing process. AI requires rethinking processes the same way Hammer and Champy did. It requires understanding workflows, decomposing them into constituent tasks, and only then asking where prediction machines might fit. Businesses are already doing this analysis. Goldman Sachs's CFO, R. Martin Chavez, remarked that many of the 146 distinct tasks in an initial public offering process were begging to be automated. Many of those tasks are predicated on decisions that AI tools will significantly enhance. And when someone writes about Goldman Sachs a decade from now, a major part of that story will likely be about how the rise of AI played a meaningful role in its transformation. Here's where implementation gets practical. AI tools aren't designed at the level of the job, or the occupation, or even the strategy. They're designed at the level of the task. A task is a collection of decisions, and decisions are based on prediction and judgment, informed by data. Tasks often share the same elements, the same kinds of prediction and judgment, but they differ in the action that follows. What matters is understanding how to redesign and automate entire processes, or what the authors call workflows, by potentially removing humans from such tasks altogether. For better and cheaper prediction alone to lead to pure automation, employing prediction machines must also increase the returns to using machines in other aspects of that task. Otherwise, you'll want to keep humans working alongside the prediction machine. The authors have observed more than 150 AI companies in their innovation lab, and each one focuses on developing an AI tool addressing a specific task in a specific workflow. One startup predicts the most important passages of a document and highlights them. Another predicts manufacturing defects and flags them. A third forecasts appropriate customer service responses and answers routine queries. And the list goes on. Large companies are implementing hundreds or thousands of different AI systems to enhance tasks throughout their workflows. Google alone is developing more than 1,000 different AI tools, from email assistance to translation to driving. For many businesses, prediction machines will be impactful, but in an incremental, largely inconspicuous manner. Think about how AI improves photo apps on your smartphone. It sorts your pictures in helpful ways, but doesn't fundamentally change how you use the app. But if you're reading this because you want to understand how AI can lead to fundamental change in your business, it's important to understand how AI tools change workflows. They do this in two ways. First, they can render tasks obsolete and remove them from workflows entirely. Second, they can create entirely new tasks. Let's walk through an example, MBA recruiting, a process the authors know intimately. This workflow begins with a pool of potential applications and ends with a group of people who receive and accept offers. It has three broad stages. First, a sales funnel designed to encourage applications. Second, a process that determines who receives offers. Third, additional steps encouraging those given offers to accept. Each stage requires significant resources. The goal is to assemble a class of the best students, but what best means is complex and depends on the school's strategic goals. In the current system, candidates are ranked into three buckets. Bucket A clearly should get an offer. Bucket B should get an offer if those in a decline. Bucket C, no offer. This creates an obvious need for risk management. You don't want to put someone in bucket C when they should be in A or B because something on their application wasn't obvious. And you don't want to put someone in A when they should be lower in the queue. Applications are multidimensional, so these assessments are a mixture of objective and subjective judgment. Now imagine the MBA program developed an AI that could take applications, video interviews, and publicly available social media information, and trained on historical data showing how applications translated into later success, provide a clear ranking of all applicants. This AI would make the task of selecting who gets offers faster, cheaper, and more accurate. But here's the crucial question. How would this prediction technology affect the rest of the MBA workflow? The new ranking would affect decisions throughout the system. Schools might make early offers to preempt other universities. They'd adjust financial incentives and scholarships. They'd change how they allocate special attention, like faculty lunches. All these decisions involve trade-offs and scarce resources. A more accurate list changes who receives these resources, but the workflow changes become even more fundamental. Schools know that more applications mean harder work ranking them, so they sometimes limit applications. But a prediction machine dramatically lowers the cost of ranking. This increases the returns to having more applications. Schools might drop application fees to zero because sorting is now trivial. The whole applicant pool expands. Finally, the timing of the workflow could change dramatically. With fast, accurate ranking, a school could deliver an offer nearly instantaneously after an application arrives, significantly changing the entire competitive dynamics for attracting top candidates. The introduction of a single AI tool for ranking ripples throughout the workflow, removing some tasks, adding others, and fundamentally reshaping how the system operates. The iPhone keyboard offers a brilliant real-world example of this principle in action. When Apple engineers designed the iPhone, they debated whether to finally abandon QWERTY, the keyboard layout that was originally designed to prevent mechanical typewriters from jamming. Apple's primary competitor at the time, the BlackBerry, had a physical QWERTY keyboard so good that the device earned the nickname CrackBerry for its addictive quality. What kept Apple tethered to QWERTY was familiarity. But the soft keyboard was so terrible that the project itself was at risk. The problem was brutally simple. To fit on a 3.5-inch screen, the keys had to be tiny, which meant users hit the wrong key constantly. With just 3 weeks to find a solution that would determine whether the entire project succeeded or failed, every single iPhone software developer had free rein to explore alternatives. By the end of those 3 weeks, Apple had a keyboard that looked like a small QWERTY layout, but with a substantial tweak. The screen display didn't change, but the surface area around particular keys expanded dynamically while you typed. When you type the letter T, because the next letter is highly likely to be H, the area around the H key expanded. Then E and I expanded in sequence, and so on. This was machine learning at work. Apple had built predictive algorithms where key size changed depending on what you were typing. The genius here wasn't fancy AI, it was understanding the workflow. A user's workflow with a keyboard involves three steps: identify a key, touch it, move to the next. By breaking down that workflow, Apple realized that a key didn't need to be the same physical size to be identified and touched. Prediction solved knowing where the user was going next. The underlying reason it worked was QWERTY itself. That keyboard design, which prevented adjacent keys from being hit in mechanical typewriters, meant the next key was unlikely to be near the one you just pressed. So keys could expand into that space and be reliably distinguished. Understanding the workflow was critical to deploying AI effectively. That's true of all workflows. When you think about implementing AI in your business, re-engineering isn't optional. It's the foundation on which success is built. The real leverage from AI comes not from better technology alone, but from rethinking the entire system around what that technology can now do.